This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cowboys training camp opens up today. So what is your top storyline or maybe even positional battles that you're looking at going into training camp? One thing that just came out in the last few minutes, Eagles wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, who is a product of Rowlett High School, so a local kid right there. He is also opting out of the forthcoming season. And so, honestly, the more and more you hear about it, and I know the two Cowboys players right now that aren't, like, of great consequence, that might honestly be the number one storyline is, I know DeMarcus Lawrence said he was going to show up for training camp, but like, who else is going to opt out, and will it be somebody that will change the way you were building your roster?
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. I don't think there's any doubt about that, that at some point there's going to be a player that, for whatever reason, and I understand Goodwin's situation with his wife having, three previous miscarriages there. I don't know every one of these guys' backgrounds and stories. So out of the 53 guys that you have selected, which, could there be three of them? Like, could there be a star receiver or a star this or a star that that's like, look, I can't risk this. We've had too many things happen already for me to do this. I can't do it to the family. But I also do think that the finances involved have a lot to do with it, too. How much you already have, how much you don't have, and what your other options are. So I think, everybody has a different set of options that they're dealing with.
I wonder how much these NFL players are looking at possibly either the college they went to or just looking at the college numbers when the guys went to college to start their summer programs. And, I know the last one that we heard was West Virginia had, 22 or 23. I'm just wondering if the guys are like, look, I saw too many big numbers for college football players going back to campus that I just don't want to go to, their NFL campus because they're afraid that it's going to spread quickly because guys have been partying big time in this last week or so to then go to training camp. It's just part of their routine, party hard the week before and then go to camp if they're just worried like, hey, let me see. I'm wondering if when these players are opting out, I'm wondering if a week or two from now they opt back in, if whatever team they're playing for, let's just say the Cowboys, these guys show up and only three guys test positive for coronavirus when they all come back. And they're like, all right, I'm going to give it one more week, see how the testing goes. And if their Cowboys are saying, hey, right now we're at zero cases, if the players that opted out would say, hey, I'm opting back in because I thought it was going to be more college football, like where guys would have, there'd be 20 cases.
Also, there's not really a way to answer this, but they don't live in a vacuum. I wonder how much the Marlins situation where you're seeing positive tests there influences them, because that's, talking about basketball and hockey, they're in a bubble situation. Baseball is a lot more akin to what you're going to see in football. So I wonder if them looking over there goes, oh, I don't like the way this is situated.
I know. I could definitely see that. The confluence of events in terms of training camps about to start and that breakout happening, I think, has really accelerated people dropping out. Now, we get this question. I'm going to double check, but I think I know the answer from the 951. If you opt out, does it still count against the salary cap? I do not believe so, because you don't get credit for that year of your contract anymore. So your contract essentially extends out a year. So I would just assume you would just push all of the money forth a year, since none of it is actually being paid out, or that $150,000 stipend.
So if Dak opted out, we wouldn't have his $35 million or whatever on the salary cap this year, and we could go spend that elsewhere?
I think that it should still be the same. I don't know if it'd be weird with the franchise tag or what, but then who's your quarterback? Is it
DiNucci?
Actually, from the 817,
Andy Dalton,
the seventh round pick at quarterback. So Ben DiNucci rolls up. Man, look at Corey already trying to throw Andy Dalton out under the bus. So I got a list of positional battles from CBS Sports. I want to see if any of these are intriguing to y'all or if it's something else entirely.
Can I throw one of them out there?
Sure.
Number one receiver for the Cowboys. Is it CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup?
They do not have that as one of the options. Let me ask you this. If it was a, I know it won't be, but if it was like a straight, legitimate receiving competition, who do you, how do you think that ranking would play out?
Amari Cooper to start the year.
Yeah, right now, Cooper, Gallup, Lamb. But Lamb and Gallup are really close. But I believe in Mike, man. I believe by the end of the year that they're going to be looking at – and Jerry's interesting, though, Mike, because he's going to be looking at it going, that's my number one pick right there. I need to go ahead and get him more catches. But at the same time, he's going to be saying, well, I spent $20 million on this other receiver, so they both need more catches. So that's the way that it's going to be when Jerry's looking at the field and trying to figure out who their number one guy is. But I think it's a great problem to have.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look up real quick. I'm just trying to look up Dez Bryant's stats, his rookie year, and I know that –
he was behind
probably
T.O.
CeeDee Lamb's coming in with more hype than Dez Bryant. I know Dez Bryant was supposed to be a higher pick because of his college situation, fell in the draft. But I'm just trying to quickly go, like, can he beat Dez Bryant's numbers? Because I felt like Dez had pretty good stats his rookie year.
He had 561 yards on 73 targets, 45 catches, and 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So he was already a red zone beast.
Okay. Besides the touchdowns, I would be disappointed if those were his numbers for receptions and yards as long as he's healthy and plays in 16 games. The 6 touchdowns, there's barely guys that get over 10 touchdowns in the NFL now when it comes to reception. So 6 touchdowns would be just fine for me. And it's just, it's tough because he quickly, it's amazing. We just watched Michael Gallup, and Michael Gallup, I love him. He's not the talent of CeeDee Lamb. But, man, that second year, guys can take major jumps. And, you know, I don't want to back off of my CeeDee Lamb take. I still think he's going to be our number one receiver by the end of the year. I just think that's how much talent he has. But if I just keep looking at rookie wide receivers that end up being, you know, all pro great guys like Dez Bryant, and it's like that first year they still struggle to put up great numbers, most of them. Obviously, there are a few exceptions, and heck, Amari Cooper is one of the exceptions. He had a great rookie campaign.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
From the... let's see, from the 210, I'm interested in the cornerback battles, particularly hoping Reggie Robinson makes the game day 45 instead of the practice squad. So,
I agree.
That is one of the 5, Reggie Robinson versus Daryl Worley. So that will be one to look at. And the other cornerback battle that CBS Sports brought up is Jordan Lewis versus Anthony Brown.
Huh. Interesting that they wouldn't put him up against Cheeto. I don't understand that. I don't understand how all 3 of those cornerbacks are just automatically slotted already. Because I think Anthony Brown might be better out on the outside, but he might be better on the inside than Jordan Lewis is. That being said, I think there's stands a chance that Jordan could be the best cornerback on this team. Anthony could too, but a lot of people are just like, oh, Cheeto's the guy, and I don't understand why.
From the 817, I'm interested in the battle at left guard. Now, offensive line does come up, but it's center right here where they have Joe Looney versus Tyler Badass. Would you assume that Looney would get the first look to start the season, or do you think this will be a real competition in training camp?
How do you evaluate a rookie center without any preseason snaps and not even having a scrimmage against another team? I'm throwing that out as a question. I think this is the tough thing for most of the rookies, and I think the Cowboys had a great draft, and I think these guys are going to help out the Cowboys. I hope their rookie year, but I really think this is going to be one of those draft classes we look back and go, hey, without a quarterback, this was one of the best draft classes ever. But I just don't know how they're going to be ready for week 1, 2, or 3 without getting any type of look against another team.
Now, to your point, Bassick, you might be onto something about how, I mean, like, we are all excited about the draft, but the thing that I like is you keep seeing these positional battles include the rookies, because here's another one, Antoine Woods versus Neville Gallimore. Like, I like the idea that people don't just get these starting spots, Corey, that they have to stave off the rookie who wants to take their job. Usually it feels like we drafted somebody like, well, we got nobody else, so go ahead.
Yeah, and in the cornerback battle, Kevin, I forgot about Trayvon Diggs in my argument there. Like, that,
yeah.
that's a group of talented cornerbacks that are all going to be trying to figure out who has what job. The game, fortunately, has changed enough that the sport needs and requires lots of cornerbacks to do lots of different things. But you're right, man. We have a bunch of young, talented players that are all, like, just frothing at the mouth to get a job and steal one away. My biggest – and it's not even a – I guess my biggest battle in camp for the success of this team is Aldon Smith versus himself. For me, that's the one I want to make. I want that dude to try to return to what he was, because if he can give you that pressure and the guys in the middle can do what they're supposed to do, as opposed to the garbage that we got last year in the middle on the defensive line, this team could be like it could be very successful if you're getting something from him on the other side.
I'm with you on that. And then another one of those battles that I don't know. Are we done with all the ones that they listed?
Well, they have one more, and I don't know.
Is it guard?
No, believe it or not, it's something different, and I'm interested in this. I don't know.
The kicker battle?
Yes. Kai Forbath versus Greg Zuerlein. I'm, like, legitimately interested in the disrespect for Kai Forbath, because we have the worst kicking in the league. We bring in Kai Forbath. He fixes it up. And then we immediately go sign someone else. And I'm like, huh, that's fascinating.
Isn't it whoever we cut is the first kicker picked up by a team that wasn't happy with their kicker in practice?
Yeah, and that one goes on to be a successful kicker in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
They figure it out. So just keep both of them.
I think the Connor situation, both Connors, and I don't know if Connor Williams is healthy to practice. Have we? Because I know, I mean, he tore his ACL late in the season, so I don't know how healthy he is to actually compete starting. I know today they're not having real practice. They're just showing up. But I'm just wondering, can Connor Williams even compete? Is he even healthy enough to compete for a job?
I don't know.
And we still have to figure out with the Connors, like, how much can they actually play? Yeah. So, like, it's, some people talk about it, like, who's the better one? Are either one of them really going to be particularly good for us? Because, I mean, one hasn't played and the other one's been meh.
And I don't want to give up on Connor Williams, because I know that our tackle, Collins, he – after 2 years, Brian Broaddus and other people that really study that stuff were not impressed at all with Lyle Collins and what he was bringing to the table in year one and year two. And by year three, he started showing some really nice signs. And now, to me, he's a top 20 tackle in the NFL. And so that's great news. And he might be higher than that. I'm being conservative maybe there. But I just don't want to give up on Connor Williams yet, just because Lyle Collins was not getting solid grades from people that kind of grade out offensive linemen in their first 2 years in the NFL.
I'll add this. He was better last year than he was his rookie year, obviously, with the injury too. You know, that kind of played him a little bit. But there were times when he wasn't a problem on your line, where your line looked like, oh, man, what happened? And you just kind of blame it on him. But there were a lot of times where you were looking at him going, okay, that was something better. So I agree, Mike. Give him a little bit of time. But, man, I just would hate to hold back a player that could be better for my offensive line. I also will say this. Missing Travis Frederick, even if Travis Frederick wasn't what he was, he's still Travis Frederick up in the mind. And that was missing that there. That's the center. That's the brain of the defense. Or I'm sorry, the offensive line, and it's just not going to be there. So there's going to be a lot of adjustment this year.
From the 210 and 817, the crux is, can we get a punter competition because Chris Jones sucks? I honestly don't know. I hope
he's back.
I think he is.
He was the worst punter in the NFL last year, right?
We definitely had the worst, I would assume, with a new special teams coordinator and everything like that, but I think he is still under contract.
He punts left-footed, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he should try with his right, and maybe it's fresher. Maybe he's worn out his left leg.
Did you see the video of that dad that his kid was bouncing the ball on the patio, and he just grabbed the ball and punted it off into the water?
Yeah.
That's the
Let's
dude I want
that
to punt for our team.
He's probably better.
What if it's fourth and five or shorter, and we just go for it every time this year?
Because you don't think Chris Jones can kick it that 5 yards?
Yeah, we're just like, whatever.
Because I think CeeDee Lamb can get 5 yards every time he has the ball in his hands.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.